Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, who is the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, verse 14 is talking about the Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who, the Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, the Son, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, that's the Son, and for him. Verse 17, and he, the Son, is before all things. This is not our lesson tonight, but some believe that Jesus was a created being. And Colossians 1:17 makes that impossible because it's talking about Jesus and said he was before all things. If God was before him, if God the Father was before him, then he was not before all things. So Jesus was not created later by God the Father. He is God the Father in a human body. Verse 18, and he, the Son, the Lord Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, the Son, might have preeminence. What we're focusing on in verse 18 is he is the head of the body, the church. As we talk about Baptist distinctives and what makes us as a Baptist church unique from others, different from others, unique from others. Again, we go back, not better than others. This is not a contest, but unique or different from others. And one of the things is, as we saw last week, is biblical authority. We are separated from many Catholic and Protestant churches because we don't go by the traditions of our fathers. We don't go by the writings of the early fathers. We go by Scripture only. And so biblical authority is one of those marks. The second thing we're looking at tonight is the autonomy. And again, we're taking B-A-P-T-I-S-T, Baptist. And with each letter looking at something, the B was biblical authority. That makes us unique. Now, there are other churches that stand with us on biblical authority. So we're not claiming that we're the only ones. But it does make us different from Protestant and Catholic churches. All right, then the second thing on top of that is we believe in the autonomy of the local church. And by that, we simply mean that the church is self-governing and self-supporting. There is no head of the church outside the church itself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. The pastor is the under-shepherd and the people are the flock, but Jesus Christ alone is the head of the church. So that's what we're going to be looking at this evening as we think about that. One reference you can write down, we won't look there, is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. And Ephesians 5:23, the phrase is there that says, Christ is the head of the church. So there's no debating it. Christ is the head of the church. All right? No human entity, but Jesus Christ the Lord. He is the head of the body, the church. You understand in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3, there are letters from John to the seven churches which are in Asia. To the church at Ephesus, to the church at Smyrna, to the church at Thyatira, to the church at Pergamon. There were churches in each of these different locations. A church is an individualized congregation. That's what a church is. Now, it is true that in the Scriptures, there are times where the word church refers to the body of Christ. All right? Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He's not talking about any specific congregation. He's talking about the body of Christ. So there are times where the body of Christ is referred to as a church. But there are 117 times that the word church or churches, singular or plural, 117 times that church or churches appears in the New Testament. And the vast majority, almost 100% of those references are talking about a local congregation of believers. As the churches in the book of Revelation were local congregations. And no one church had any authority over another church. The Lord was over them and he said, all right, I know your works, Ephesus. I know your works, Pergamos. I know your works, Thyatira. I know your works, Laodicea. The Lord was the head, and he was over each church individually. There was no earthly head over a collection of churches. Every church was individual. So that's what we're focusing on tonight when we talk about the autonomy of the local church. The first paragraph after our Bible verse, as Baptists recognize no written authority other than the Word of God, so we recognize no head over the local congregation but the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, that illustration from the book of Revelation makes that clear. Seven different churches, all unique, all different, and all answer to the Lord. There was no bishop over three of them. There was no cardinal over seven of them. There was no earthly head. They were each individual congregations that answered to the Lord and to the Lord only. Your first blank in there, and I'm sorry that it wasn't longer, but the computer was giving me trouble today. The local church, L-O-C-A-L. Not loco, L-O-C-O. But the local, L-O-C-A-L. The local church is a body of born-again baptized believers meeting voluntarily for the proclaiming of the gospel, the strengthening of believers, and the obeying of the Word of God. That's what we are. We are a local church. To the church in Baysville. Now again, we don't claim exclusivity there. There are other churches in here that are made up of saved people. That's no problem. But we are a church in Baysville, Ohio. We are a local congregation. We are a body of born-again baptized believers meeting voluntarily for the purpose of the proclamation of the gospel and the strengthening of believers and the obeying of the Word of God. So the word church, 80 times. The word churches, 37 times. The word denomination, zero. All right, there's no such thing in the New Testament as denominations. Where did denominations come from? They came from religion. All right, the Catholic Church in 312 AD. Presbyterian, Lutheran, all those Protestant churches coming out of the Catholic Church in the 16th century at the Reformation. All right, all these churches had their beginnings at these different dates and times. And they have denominational titles. All right, but we are a body of believers whose doctrine has come from, we believe, from New Testament times. Yeah, not many claim that. Now, the Catholic Church does claim to go back to the Apostle Peter. And if you're familiar with that claim, it doesn't hold water. It's not scriptural. They can't go back to Peter. Peter was never in Rome. Paul was in Rome, but that's a whole different story. All right. The Presbyterians, the Lutherans, all those, their churches go back to the 16th century. Because that's when Martin Luther did his 95 thesis we've talked about in earlier Wednesday nights, and those churches began. That's their foundation. But we are not a denomination. We are recognized as a group of people whose roots go all the way back to New Testament times. And so that's what we're talking about when we think about these. We're thinking about that church. A local church is a church in a certain location. In the New Testament, we read about many of these churches, the churches of Galatia. Paul wrote to them in Galatians chapter 1, verse 2. He said, I write to the churches of Galatia. Galatia was like a county, Guernsey County. And to the individual churches in that county, all right? They're individual congregations. There's a church at Antioch. There's a church in Ephesus. There's a church at Centuria. Many times we read about Paul writing and saying, greet the church that is in their house. All right? So we know that the word church is greatly defined as a local congregation. And each congregation is separate from the other. Doesn't mean we can't fellowship. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. But we're separate in our government. We're separate in our decision making. We're separate in our accountability. All right? It's only the Lord. The word autonomous, here as we go on to the next paragraph, the word autonomous means independent in government. Now, I like that word independent. Independent in government. All right, having the right of self-government. The New Testament church was an autonomous church. I say I like that word independent. I was in the library in Cambridge last week one day, and there's a fella in there, and he's a good guy, and he goes to a church in Cambridge, And I was in there, and we know each other well, and we were joking, and I forget what we were talking about, but we were joking about something. And somebody else was just kind of sitting there looking at us, you know, not understanding our conversation. I wish I could remember what we were joking about so it would make sense. We were joking about something, and the guy I was talking to looked at that fellow. He said, "That's all right. We're both Baptists." He said, "I'm an American Baptist, and he's an independent Baptist." But he recognized the difference between the two. He recognized the difference between, and what I'm emphasizing here is the churches of the New Testament were independent churches. Every church was, they were not a collection by any stretch of the imagination. Now the problem that's come in our day is that not only are the denominations headquartered, you know, the Presbyterian Church headquarters in New York City, this church, Jehovah Witness, who's over there, all these denominations are headquartered somewhere. The independent Baptists have no headquarters. There is no central organization or group. But some of the Baptists have gone that route. All right, the Southern Baptists you're familiar with. The Southern Baptists have their headquarters down south. They have their university in Louisville, Kentucky, the Southern Baptist University that everybody goes to. They funnel everybody. So some of the Baptists for some reason have followed that pattern of the denominations, maybe by intimidation. Hey, we want to be like them. We want to be like the big boys. We want to be recognized. We want our accredited schools. We want all that kind of stuff. So some of them have followed that direction. But a real church is independent in government. I would say this within the Baptists, and I'm being careful, and I'm just trying to be factual at the same time. They say, "Well, we're not that. We're an association. We're a fellowship." Well, the minute you start appointing board members and councils, then you have crossed the line from fellowships and all that into a more organized thing where now you're writing to your churches and then now they start paying dues and membership fees and all this thing begins. That's how it starts slowly like that. All right. That's the difference between all of the associations and conventions, even with the name Baptist on them, and an independent Baptist church. Some folks insist they're independent Baptists, and I say as long as that name is tacked to you, and you have your council of 18, or whatever it might be, and you've got your school that you send all your kids to, that you're not independent. You're locked in somewhere. I look back over where our young people have gone to Bible college over the 26 years, and I think I counted 9 or 10 different schools that we send them to, because as independent Baptists, we don't have one school that we funnel everybody through. We're independent in our decision making. We go where the Lord leads us. So that's what I'm emphasizing, the term independent. When maybe you've said before Bible Baptist Church is an independent Baptist church. Maybe you didn't even know what that meant. It means we're not the member of any fellowship. Not the manner of any convention, of any denomination, of nothing. We're an independent church. It all rises and falls right here. All right? If we ever go under financially, we go under. There is nobody behind us that's funneling money into here. I know when we bought this building several years ago, we were buying it from the Catholic Archdiocese of Steubenville, and those folks did not understand the difference between how independent Baptists are and how they are. They thought of us like Southern Baptists. You've got money behind you somewhere. You've got your central fund that you can draw money from and get stuff, and the Southern Baptists do that. But independent Baptists don't do that. It's us. There's nobody else out there. Now, that's I guess you'd say that's bad because we don't have anybody to bankroll us if we get in trouble. But it's also good because we don't have anybody dictating to us the decisions that we make. I've known of Baptist churches that didn't own their own building, didn't own their own property. It was owned by the convention, the assembly, whatever it is. Bible Baptist Church belongs to Bible. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Bible Baptist Church. I knew of a Baptist pastor that dismantled his church, sold his building, and pocketed the money and left. And that's a dangerous position to live in before God. Because it wasn't his church, and if this church ever dissolved, we would sell the building and we would give it to missionaries. We'd send it somewhere. It wouldn't go to anybody's pocket or anything like that. We're an independent church. Nobody's making those decisions. All right, the New Testament church was, that's the way the New Testament church was. No lording it over another congregation. No authority of one church over the other. Notice this in our bullet points here. This New Testament church chose its own leadership. All right, they chose their own leadership. I wish we had time to read all these references. I'm going to have to just kind of summarize them for you. But in Acts chapter 6, you know what the problem was that the church had there. The church had exploded in its growth. It was bigger than the preachers could handle. And so they came up with a new system called a deacon. And they brought all kinds of trouble into the... No. And they found a good way to handle the business end of the church. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, and verse 2, the 12 disciples called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you." So you know what happened? The pastor of the church at Jerusalem said to the people, "We can't handle this anymore. You choose your deacons." The local church made their own decision for their own leadership. All right, it wasn't in trust. They didn't write to somebody and say, "Send us somebody." They made their own decisions. Secondly, not only did they choose their own leadership, but they sent their own missionaries. They sent their own missionaries. Acts chapter 13, there was in the church at Antioch. There was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets. And we'll jump down to verse 2. "And they, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." The church at Antioch was an independent congregation with their preacher serving the Lord. When God came down and said, "All right, I want Saul and Barnabas to go and serve me as missionaries." Sent them out of the local church. All right, not a denomination, not a hierarchy, not a university, but right out of the local church. They sent their own missionaries. Number three, or the third little star there, the church exercised its own discipline. Exercised its own discipline. You say, what does that mean? That means we handle our own problems. We don't call the archdiocese. We don't call the committee. We don't call the council and say, "Hey, we've got a problem here at Bible Baptist Church. Can you send somebody to help us?" We take care of our own problems. Our references are Acts chapter 5. And you'll remember that's where Ananias and Sapphira lied about the offering they were giving. They were free to give whatever offering they wanted to. That wasn't a problem, but they lied about it. And the Apostle Peter, they came before him as the head of the church. They came before him and he exposed their lying and God killed them right on the spot. But no outside entity was involved in it. Also Matthew 18:17, in handling disputes with the church, going to your brother personally. If you can't resolve it, bring it before the church. But the church exercised its own discipline. Fourthly, the New Testament church rejected control by religious and governmental bodies. It rejected control by religious and governmental bodies. Wouldn't it be nice if the Bysville Village Council had revival and they came to me and said, "Pastor Leafley, we have seen the light. We know that the Baptist church is the right church. And we're going to make a decision to close down every other church in Bysville, and everybody's got to come to your church. We're going to make your church the church in Bysville." You know what the New Testament Christians would have said? "No, thank you." They would not have accepted government approval of their church. They would not accept it as being exclusive. Now again, we've talked about this already. When the colonies were first formed, the different states, they had just fled Holland and come over here for religious freedom. And then once they got here, they set up their own state churches anyways. In Massachusetts, the Congregational Church was the powers that be. Baptists like Obadiah Holmes, and we'll get into this in a few weeks, Baptists in the state of Massachusetts were tied to a stake and whipped for not being part of the Congregational Church and for preaching without a license from the Congregational Church. The same things they had fled in England, they did once they got here. And it was one church in one place, the Episcopal Church in Virginia. Different areas were different ones, but it was the same thing all over again. The Baptists have never gotten involved in that. They've never made themselves a state church. because we reject control by religious and governmental bodies. Again, there's two references in the book of Acts you can look up later that give us that. All right. Though we believe in voluntary cooperation between Bible-believing Baptist churches, and we do. Yes, we're our own entity. But Andrew Decker of Bible Believers Baptist Church in North Canton texted me yesterday, I think. He said, Pastor Leafy, we're having a revival on November, whatever next Monday and Tuesday is, having a revival, and I know you want me to let you know if we're doing anything. I wanted to let you know we're having those, and I hopefully will go up on Tuesday night. Go up. We can cooperate and work together with each other. All right, the Marietta Bible College Choir could come up here and sing, and I send out flyers to probably 12 to 14 churches in this area within an hour's distance and invited them to come. Yes, we can work together, but nobody has any authority over the other. We all just work in cooperation. So though we believe in voluntary cooperation between Bible-believing Baptist churches, no church is to exercise control over another. All right, I don't call Doug Wilcox in Orville, Ohio, and tell him what to do at Joy Baptist Church. And, fortunately, he doesn't call me and tell me what to do at Bible. We both understand. We have our separate ministries, and that's, we are us, they are them. We can get together for fellowship. We can have him come down and preach our tent meeting. We can get along willingly. But we're not a fellowship or a denomination. We don't have any council, nothing like that. Nor does any council, synod, convention, fellowship, school, or individual have any authority over the local church. You know, within the Catholic system, it's bishops and cardinals, and I don't even know how all that works, and the Pope over other, but there's human levels of government within the church. And many Protestant denominations have followed that same thing with their councils. I know there was a pastor at a Southern Baptist Church in Cambridge when we first came here back in 1991. And he was a good fella. He was a good preacher. He was King James only. And that was right when the Southern Baptist Convention made a decision as a convention, we're changing to the New International Version. And that pastor said to he said, no, our church is going to stay King James. He was removed as pastor. Not by the congregation, but by the convention. Because he wasn't towing the line and doing what they told him they had to do. So in these different churches that are like that, there's someone over them that makes decisions for them. That's the difference between being independent and being one of the others. All right, no council, synod, convention, fellowship, school, or individual has any authority over the local church. We're saying this just to point out that that's the way we believe the church was in the New Testament. All this human government stuff involved in it is an invention of man. And we're simply going back, we believe, to the New Testament times and saying we are not getting involved in that kind of control. Every congregation is independent. Our next paragraph here, the local congregation or the church is responsible for its own self-government. And this is kind of a repeat of what we've seen already. It chooses its own pastor. It chooses its own pastor. Many of you maybe are familiar with the Methodist Church, and they ordinarily change pastors every 2 or 3 years. The hierarchy decides, well, that guy's been there long enough, and they shuffle the people around the way they want to. And they tell a guy, we're going to move you here, and they're just kind of, they're there, and wherever they tell them they're going to go, that's where they go. Bible Baptist Church, if the day comes where the Lord, my health isn't good enough, or you guys vote me out for some reason, but if the day comes where I'm no longer the pastor, then it's up to you to pick a new pastor. I can make recommendations. I can have guys come in. You get a pulpit committee. You have different guys come in. But we choose our own pastor. Nobody outside of this has any say in it. It chooses its own deacons. We saw that already in Acts chapter 6. Look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, that we may appoint over this business. We choose our own deacons. It chooses which missionaries to support. It chooses which missionaries to support. You say, why do you say that? Well, and I'm not saying this to pick on anybody. I'm just saying this to illustrate it. In the Southern Baptist Convention, you do not decide what you send in 10% of your church's income, I believe is how it goes, to the collective fund, and then they support the missionaries for the Southern Baptist Convention. It's not an individual church choosing who they're going to support. So we choose our own missionaries. It manages its own finances. All right? As a local church, we manage our own finances. There is nobody bankrolling us. There's nobody behind it. There's nobody we give accountability to for our finances other than ourselves. We do every month, I do a financial statement from Joel's records in paying our bills. We do a financial statement that our deacons look at every month and approve. And then at the end of the year, we put it into one statement and give it to you. So we have our own finances. It exercises its own discipline. Again, we handle our own disputes. We handle our own problems. If people aren't getting along, we work it out among ourselves. We don't call somebody else in. And then it says it manages its own affairs. We decide when we're having revival meetings, missions conferences, anything we're doing, we make the decisions for ourselves. The church's government is to be a blend of pastoral leadership with congregational activity. Pastoral leadership with congregational activity, which leads to unity. There is no organizational structure above the local church. The church's government is a blend. A lot of folks talk about congregational rule. Well, congregational rule is a mess. Because if a congregation's 50 people, who's ruling? All right, you say the majority, all right. So 26 to 24 is not going to go good. So there has to be some kind of leadership over the congregational decision making. So the term congregational rule really is not a correct term. It's congregational rule with pastoral leadership. And I believe when you keep that in its right light, everything works fine and there's unity. So that's the autonomy. B, biblical authority. A, autonomy. On the back of your page, we're going to have to do this quickly, and it is short anyways. But the letter P in BAP for Baptist stands for the priesthood of the believer. And that is that every one of us is a priest. All right, you remember in the Old Testament, you had to come to the priest with your sacrifice. They had to offer it. They had to make it acceptable to God, then come back and tell you that your sins were forgiven. Now again, that's been duplicated or imitated in New Testament times, and it's an abomination. That's not how the Lord does it now. He says in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He's talking about every believer, the congregation. We are a holy priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's talking about us spiritually, individually. And they sung a new song, it says in Revelation 5, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Did you know tonight if you're saved, you're a priest. Whether you're male or female, you're a priest. Whether you're married or unmarried, you're a priest. All right? He has taken out the middle wall of partition. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other human being interceding for us. No one else to forgive our sins. No one else to give us mercy or pass. We deal directly with the Lord. In the Old Testament, priests were the designated religious representatives between God and man. To gain access to God, one had to go through a priest. But now in the New Testament, every born-again believer is a priest himself and can have direct access to God personally. There are no priests, sacraments, church rituals, ordinances, creeds, or anything else between man and God. You don't need a priest to worship God. You don't need a priest to pray to God. You don't need a priest to understand the Bible. You don't need a priest to give to God, to serve God, or to sacrifice to God. You and I are, by virtue of our faith in Jesus Christ, we are a holy priesthood. We don't need anybody in a robe. We don't need anybody that we call father. The Bible says, call no man on earth your father. In that religious sense, it's not talking about your daddy, not calling him father, but in that religious sense, in that submissive sense in religion, call no man on earth your father. We are priests unto our God. So B, biblical authority. A, the autonomy of the local church. And P, the priesthood of the believer. Next week we'll go on to the two ordinances and we'll probably just cover the letter T. I'd like to also to encourage you to do this. If you think of questions about what we're talking about. Now don't ask me a question about the 10 horns and the 10 crowns in the book of Revelation. But if you have a question about what we're covering in these things in Baptist, write it down and I'll try to remember to have a time next Wednesday for questions, because we want to make sure this is, everything's getting across okay. I've had lots of interest in this already from folks that have just, even here, but then others. I mentioned in the Bible college last week that we're going through this on Wednesday night, and one of the students asked me for a copy of the notes. They said they're getting ready to do their thesis on Baptist distinctives, and so I made a copy of the notes for them. So this is something good for all of us to increase our knowledge and our learning and our understanding. Again, we don't go out the doors with our nose up in the air saying we're Baptist, we're better than anybody else. But we're different. And everybody will say that about us too. Yeah, they're different. We're different, we're unique. And in these different regards, that's what makes us different. Let's stand together tonight. We'll sing a verse or two of a song.